It seems like that there will always be conflict. We know about conflict in the world, conflict between nations, conflict between races, conflict between organizations. The Bible tells us there's also going to be, at times, conflict among God's people. The first part of Acts chapter 15, we read about a conflict that arose in the first century church. And we saw there in the first part of Acts chapter 15 how that was resolved. And this, of course, takes place after what is commonly called Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey. Remember, they started out from Antioch of Syria. They had went to the Isle of Cyprus, and then they preached in places like Perga and Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. A lot of people became believers and were added to the Lord's church because of their preaching. And when they had gotten back to Antioch, they reported everything that had happened and how God had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. Well, Paul and Barnabas, recall, were sent to the church in Jerusalem to meet there with the apostles and elders and others concerning some false teachers. And these false teachers were saying that one still had to keep the law of Moses to be saved. And so that meeting took place, and of course, it was decided what the gospel said, and that is it was open to everyone. The law of Moses was no longer something that someone had to abide by to be saved. We ended our study in Acts chapter 15. The last few verses, verses 19 through 21, it says, "Therefore my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from food offered to idols, from sexual immorality, from strangled animals, and from blood. For Moses has had in every city since early generations those who preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath." Now, we see that to make sure that everybody throughout all these new churches and these new Christians understand this, they write a letter that's to be sent out. "Then it pleased the apostles and the elders and the whole church to send chosen men from among them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers." And so, not only are Paul and Barnabas going to go back to Antioch, but the church in Jerusalem are sending two other brothers, we might say as witnesses. So when they get back to Antioch, they'll all report what had happened. They wrote this letter by their hand. "The apostles and the elders and the brothers to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we've heard that some of us, whom we did not commission, have gone out and have troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law. It seemed good to us, being assembled in unity, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have sent Judas and Silas, who will also speak to you, saying the same things." These false teachers were troubling the Christians by what they were teaching. And that's what false teachers do. They trouble people. They unsettle their minds. They try to get them to believe things that aren't true. And so especially new Christians, and these were new Christians, new brothers and sisters in Christ, they were hearing things from both sides and they didn't know what to believe. So that's why this letter from the apostles and the elders was so critical. It was to make sure they understood that what Paul and Barnabas had been teaching was the truth. And these other men had been teaching something false. So they send that letter. "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to put on you no greater burden than these necessary things. Abstain from food offered to idols, from sexual immorality, from strangled animals, and from blood. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell." And so that was the letter. that was put together by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem that was sent with Paul and Barnabas and Judas and Silas back to Antioch. And then, of course, from there it would be spread that no, the Gentiles did not have to keep any of the law of Moses. There was no power in that anymore, and one did not have to keep any of it to be saved. So they head back to Antioch. So when they were dismissed, they went down to Antioch, and when they assembled the congregation, they delivered a letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over the exhortation. You know, they didn't know what the letter would say. They didn't know what Paul and Barnabas would come back and say. Maybe they would come back and say, yes, you do have to be circumcised and keep the law to be saved. But of course, when Paul and Barnabas get back with the letter says, no, the law of Moses isn't something you have to keep. So they rejoiced. Judas and Silas, being prophets themselves, exhorted the brothers with many words and strengthened them. After they had remained there for a time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to the apostles. But it seemed good to Silas to remain there, and Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. End of conflict. Or so we think. Another conflict arises, but this next conflict is between brethren. Between two brothers, actually. And we see what happens in verse 35. Well, Paul and Barnabas are preaching, and then notice verse 36. After some days, now we have no idea how long that was. Could have been days, weeks, or months. But after some period of time, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit our brothers in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Now, it's very likely or very possible that Paul wrote his letter to the Christians in Galatia during this time. During this period where it says, after some days. So during that period, it's very possible that's when Paul wrote his letter to the churches of Galatia. And if so, then it's possible that the events recorded in Galatians chapter 2 probably occurred during that time, if not possibly shortly before that. So if we turn to Galatians chapter 2, we'll read a few verses there. Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse 11. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, but when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him face to face because he stood condemned. Before certain men came from James, he ate with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the other Jews likewise joined together in hypocrisy with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. And that does seem to kind of fit in the same time frame as to what we're talking about. But when I saw they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, why do you compel the Gentiles to live like Jews? It says, why would you do that, Peter? This is one apostle talking to another apostle. Peter, you're doing something wrong. You're playing the role of a hypocrite. And not only did you play the role of a hypocrite, you influenced Barnabas to be a hypocrite as well. Paul must have been very hurt and disappointed by what Peter and then Barnabas did. So Paul decides maybe it's time to go back and revisit all of these new congregations that were started. You know, in the places like Cyprus and Perga and Derbe and Lystra and those places. Maybe it's time to go back and visit them and strengthen them. And this is a great lesson. New Christians can't be just left alone. New Christians need to be taught further and strengthened. This is part of the Great Commission. If we go back and read Matthew's account of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, the commission says, Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you." Part of making disciples is to continue to teach them, and not teach them just some things, but teach them all things. That's a great responsibility. So, Paul said, it's time to revisit these congregations and to teach them more of God's Word, more of the truth. So that's what Paul said needed to be done, to see how they're doing, see what's going on in their lives. So notice verses 37 and 38. Barnabas determined to take with him John, who was called Mark. This is the same John Mark that we have talked about before. But Paul thought it was not good to take with him one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Now, John Mark was Barnabas' cousin. We go back to Colossians chapter 4 and we find out that John Mark was Barnabas' cousin. So they were blood relatives. All right? They were blood relatives. Well, Barnabas agreed that this second trip was a good idea, but he said, not only, Paul, do you and I need to go, but we need to take John Mark with us. We need to take him with us on this journey. Well, recall that for some reason, let's go back to Acts 13 for a minute. Acts 13, verse 13. Now, when Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. That's John Mark. That's the same one Barnabas is saying, we need to take him with us. So, for some reason, Mark left Paul and Barnabas and went home. He did not go on with them on the rest of their missionary trip. Why? The text doesn't say. He may have been afraid of what was ahead, because it was not an easy trip, possible dangers. Maybe it was too difficult for him at the time. Maybe it was too demanding for him at the time. But for whatever reason, he left. But regardless, Paul didn't think it was a good reason. He didn't think it was a good reason at all. And so that's where the conflict starts. Barnabas wants to take his cousin, John Mark, with them. He knew John Mark had left the work, but he wanted to give John Mark a second chance. Paul, on the other hand, knows what happened on the first missionary journey, that John up and left. He doesn't want to take John Mark on this missionary trip. That's where the problem starts. And it says here, verse 39, then there arose a sharp contention, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and departed, being commended by the brothers to the grace of God. Now, we go back up there, and we read about Paul and Barnabas. There's no doubt that Barnabas here kept insisting they take Mark, and Paul kept insisting they wouldn't. Here we see the human side of Paul and Barnabas. Now, this isn't a matter of doctrine. This isn't a matter of something being in accordance with God's Word or not. This doesn't have anything to do with doctrine like the first conflict did. This just has a matter of preference, personal preference between Paul and Barnabas. Well, apparently it kept getting worse. And Paul and Barnabas got to the point where they had a sharp contention, a sharp disagreement. No doubt there were angry feelings here. Barnabas said, absolutely, we're going to take John Mark. And Paul said, absolutely, we're not. So there was anger, there was bad feelings between the two. That's what this idea of a sharp contention means. There was strife between the two, a heated argument. Might have even lost their temper. These were humans. These were not perfect people. They could not reconcile their differences. They couldn't. They could not come up with a compromise. Well, there wasn't any way to compromise here. There was no middle ground. Either John Mark was going to go with them, or he wasn't. I mean, there's no way he could partially go with them. So there was no room in the middle for compromise. There wasn't anything to compromise about. So the only thing left was for them to split up. Was them to split up their work. And that's what they do. Well, Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. So Barnabas and his cousin John Mark go to Cyprus. And remember, Paul and Barnabas had gone to Cyprus. That was one of the first places they had went to take the gospel. So Barnabas here takes John Mark and they go that direction. They go that direction, which would be pretty much due west for them. Well, Paul takes Silas and departs, being commended by the brothers to the grace of God. So Paul now chooses Silas and goes through areas of Syria and Cilicia, which would be on north and then west. So they didn't even go in the same direction. All right? Didn't even go in the same direction. So since they couldn't reconcile, since they couldn't get their differences settled, they decided, well, let's split up. Let's each take a partner. Barnabas, you take John Mark, and I'll take Silas. And we'll go our separate ways, but we'll continue to do what we've been doing, preaching the gospel. That's an important point to come to get from this conflict, is that both of them went ahead preaching the gospel. Neither one of them stopped. They went ahead with it. There's a lot of lessons from this conflict I think we can learn, is that disagreements are going to occur. They're going to occur. And that's all right, as long as those disagreements are based on personal preferences, not on matters of doctrine, not on teaching. We can't have disagreements over what the Bible says. The Bible says if someone is teaching or practicing something that is not in accordance with God's Word, we can't have fellowship with them. So when it's a matter of doctrine, when it's a matter of the gospel, of teaching, we can't compromise. We can't compromise over something like that. But matters of personal preference are different. We can disagree about those, and that's all right. Nothing wrong with that. So when matters over personal preference occur, we can have conflicts, but we have to make sure that we try and settle them like Christians should settle them. Paul and Barnabas' disagreement here probably should have never reached the point that it did. It probably went too far. But it did. The good thing was they all got over it. They got over it. No grudges were held over time. And again, this is just a matter of personal preference. Matter of personal preference, not a matter of doctrine. And so even though they disagreed, we find out that later, Paul was happy to hear about John Mark. That's the good part. You know, God here, even though this was a contention and this was a disagreement and there was strife, there was still good that came out of it. Because instead of having Paul and Barnabas going on one trip, it was split up. Now Barnabas and John Mark was going on mission work and Paul and Silas was going on mission work. So it ended up doubling the teaching and the preaching. So even God can bring about good from something that looks bad. It looked bad, but God still used it for good. And so both of them, both groups, ended up taking the gospel to other areas and preaching the gospel and having more believers being added to the Lord's church. Look at some of the things that were later written about John Mark. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter writes about John Mark. Verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 5 says this: "The church that is, that is at Babylon, elect together with you, greets you, and so does Mark, my son." Peter, 1 Peter being written sometime later, Peter says that John Mark was a co-worker with Peter. Also, it says that Paul refers to him as a fellow worker for the kingdom of God in Colossians chapter 4. We read about this. This is very encouraging. Verse 10 of Colossians chapter 4, toward the end of that letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he says, "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, receive him." So after some time passes, Paul says, John Mark is a worker in the kingdom, and according to my instructions, if he comes to you, make sure you receive him. Things are turning around. And then shortly before Paul dies, some of the last words that we have recorded from Paul in our New Testaments, notice what he says about John Mark. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. He's given the final instructions to Timothy. Paul knows that at this point in his life, he is not going to live much longer. This is his last recorded words, last recorded letter. This is toward the end of the last recorded letter. Notice what he says in verse 11. It says, "Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." In Paul's mind, Mark had made an amazing turnaround. He had went from our text, where Paul wanted nothing to do with him in his mission work, to at the end of Paul's life saying, "Mark is essential to me. He's absolutely essential to my work. Make sure you send him to me." Now that's what you always want to see when brothers have conflict over personal preferences. Over personal preference. Paul ended up saying that John Mark was absolutely essential to my work. Please send him. Now that is the way you want that type of conflict to end. Wasn't a matter of teaching. Wasn't a matter of doctrine. Wasn't a matter of the law of Christ. It was simply a matter of personal preference. Barnabas wanted John Mark to go. Paul did not. See, personal preference. Yes, they had conflict, they had strife, they had some contention, and apparently it was pretty strong. But over time, they worked it out. And Paul ended up wanting John Mark to come and be with him toward the end of his life. Now that's amazing to me. That is a feel-good, wonderful account. That conflict over personal preferences, over matters of judgment, not matters of doctrine, it's entirely different, but matters of preference can be worked out. I'm sure at first it didn't look like it. When Paul and Barnabas had their contention and strife, I'm sure at the first when they split up, it didn't look like they would ever get back together, but they did. It may have taken years, but they did get back together. And that's the good news. So in this chapter, in Acts chapter 15, we've seen two entirely different types of conflict. The first conflict was over false teaching and for doing things contrary to God's word. In those cases, you can't compromise at all. Not even the tiniest little bit. You have to stick to what God's word says. and never change one little iota of it. But when it comes to personal preferences, that's an entirely different story. Just over personal preferences, yeah. You can have disagreements. But you still need to act like Christ would. And that's a great account. Acts 15. Disagreements between brethren. Conflict between brethren. And how they are to be worked out. Well, tonight, if there's any need in your heart, if there's any need for you to ask for prayers of the congregation, then we encourage you to do that as we stand and sing. Let's stand, please.